came to pass that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. So everyone went into their own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. And with him was Mary, his soon-to-be wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that the Savior shall be born. Firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Thank you. any other night.
I agree. It's as if something miraculous is happening tonight.
And there were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And y'all shall take it as a sign. The babe shall be wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
And suddenly there were a host of angels, praising God, saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace.
Come see the baby. Crib for a bed, his mother Mary laid down his sweet head. The starlight was shining, the wise men were led. Come see the baby and worship him.
His name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace.
of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. They addressed King Herod, saying,
where is he that is born, King of the Jews?
For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him.
And he, Herod, sent to them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy.
The star has led us to him. Let us go inside so we can worship him.
When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. More than 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to be our Savior. Jesus was born to save us from our sins, born so that we can be born again and return to live with him someday. Let us rejoice greatly this Christmas season, for unto us all a Savior is born.
Christmas Sunday morning, all of you who are regulars and all of you that are visitors, you are welcome this morning to our church. This morning, we take our annual Christmas for Christ offering. I know that all of you heavily support throughout the year foreign missions. But the offering we take this morning for Christmas for Christ goes to build churches right here in the United States and in Canada. So this is a special offering this morning that we give in honor of Jesus Christ that came to give his life for our redemption. So if you will stand right now, we are going to bring our Christmas for Christ offering to the front, and we're going to place it in the little manger that is right here. Thank you all for being here. Your Christmas for Christ offering, or any other offerings that you may have this morning, your tithing and etc. Christmas cards and gift cards and monies that you all give us this time of the year. I want you to know that we greatly appreciate it very, very much. You are greatly loved.
Why don't we give it a big hand clap to Jesus for this great occasion? And it's a thrill to have such skilled and helpful people doing things that exalt the reason that we have meetings such as this, because of a God that is greater than any of us have ever even imagined. We have only touched the edge of his ways. And so we celebrate because he is looking in on everything that we do every day. And so we rise to the occasion in meetings such as this, that brotherly love and the strength of our spirit mingles into an incense in the nostrils of the Almighty God. So we appreciate every one of these people that helped, and let's give them one more big hand clap. And then we'll let that hand clap work also for all of you that constantly, financially, physically, spiritually, keep the momentum of godliness in our community and from day to day in your personal life. I'd like to just move into special parts of what God has done for a long time, and then what he is trying to do during this time of our life. There are so many people that are experiencing frustrations in light of what is happening in the world, where hate and scheming hurts so many families. And so I, as a pastor, cannot thank you enough for keeping a witness program going and keeping our lives extremely premier. And so today I would like to just take a little bit to talk about the rationale or the idea of what Jesus really did and does. And while he started in a stable, he lives in the throne room of this entire universe and world. He operates carefully and wonderfully. And again, I'd like to go back to the fact that he left his truths a trail so that no one has to wonder how to live their life in order to be able to reach that which each of us desire. There's not one of us that doesn't desire complete peace. Even though we are disturbed by things going on, we can experience peace. And the pains of life, watching neighbors hurt, watching family hurt, watching diseases ravage people, all of those things we know are going to be terminated, and not even death can stop the plan and the program that God has revealed for us. And so we eat the bread of life, or the word of God, and then we join together in meetings such as this, knowing that the Spirit of the Lord truly maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Because when you know that no matter death or whatever, that if you live in Christ Jesus, you're going to get a new body and a new future like you have not yet seen. And so we keep preaching and teaching the best we can. So this time of the year, we celebrate this glorious occasion. And so I thrill at this moment at the wonder of what Christmas produced. It is said that hindsight is 20/20, and we can see, looking back, what we should have done, or maybe what we would have done had we known about other things going on. But God, through His Word and through His Spirit, gives us the privilege of knowing in front of us, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But when we understand that He is telling us that so that we don't get astonished that there's going to be this and that. And then troubles everywhere. And again, I'm trying to really hammer that in, because what we're celebrating today is not just an occasion. We're celebrating a life, a wisdom, a spiritual virtues that give to us supremacy and overcoming things. I am going to move as quickly as possible. I tried to write out much of my ministry today because I want to really stay on track and offer to us all the amazing things about the rationale of the birth of Jesus Christ. And what a wonder, what a wonder. It's amazing also that all other Eastern religions and religious institutions that survive at all, Confucianism, Mormonism, Islamics, and all of the things that are going on in various other areas, God has put the church with His name on it, the body of Christ. It's an amazing thing. The spirit of flesh that perverts religious things, pointing to flesh leadership, which will not accept the way of the Lord. You and I are living in an age where that they claim the name of Christ and then at the same time turn right around and pervert life in what God wanted. So this amazing thing in all of the Eastern religions, religious institutions trying to survive, Confucianism, Mormonism, Islamics, and all of the et cetera, all of these promote many of the teachings of Christ, which they try to put in to try to make it palatable for us. However, the amazing thing is the spirit of flesh, which has perverted many religious systems and leaving people with dead-end streets instead of peace and joy and righteousness. But there is coming a moment, just as we live and just as we die, there is coming a moment that every eye shall behold Him. He will come again. Don't ever doubt it. He came the first time, wrapped in a swaddling clothes. But this time He's coming with a host of angels, and He's going to take the people that love Him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength to this. If they died in the faith, if they're living in the faith, ladies and gentlemen, nothing can stop the work of God. The sun still shines. The moon still works. The wind still gives us breath. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the greatest occasions of our life to celebrate what we know is supernatural. Matthew, the first chapter, gives us so many things. A refreshing sound. Amidst all that is being promoted, we have knowledge and wisdom that rises above feelings. We don't go by feelings. We go by the Word of God. We go by the knowledge of God. We go by the presence of His authority. Not only does it refresh the mind and the spirit to hear the Christmas story, it correlates or brings together all that is going today in action and in needs. The spirit of Christmas lives today. And that is one of the greatest things that we do. We understand that Christ, through His Word and followers, introduce us to the true capacities of mankind. Jesus Christ, the only flesh of God that came in total, perfect life. And Jesus Christ is calling us today, and He's just saying, follow Me. I will make you what you really want to be. Follow Me. I will give you my word so you will not have to frustrate over the feelings of how to think. Christ, through his word and his followers, introduce us to the truest capacities of mankind. It only took him 33 and a half years to develop, to let it flow, and let it become a reality, to know that everything that is recorded in this wonderful book is the mind of Christ. The question for us is, how do I identify and obey his word and desire his way? It is a loving Christ and his ways that lead us to the power of God. We must understand in that moment, God created all things by his word. God created the heavens and the earth and all that is therein. And so it's imperative that we have a God that can do all of that to get us out of what we are experiencing in our world. This particular world is not getting better on its own. It needs the body of Christ. It needs the meaningfulness of Christ. And that's why we celebrate the Christmas story in a way that is phenomenal. And we create worship day to day. And so God saw that the first man, Adam, created son, led the world astray and into sinfulness. That was horrifying. The first Adam failed because and let his life be deteriorated. God saw a part of himself in every humankind. Watch what he said. He created you in his image. He gave us, everyone, a head start on every bit of the things that we would really love to have. So Christ's love for his creation that bore his image tore at the very core of his spirit life. His love for us is unthinkably great. Today, he's reaching out and saying, come unto me. Lay your burdens at my feet. Give me your heart, and I will make it pure and holy and glorious. I will give you bloodline that will make you think the right thoughts and to experience those thoughts in action. So the love of Christ was so strong for humankind, and he saw through the eyes of the Spirit what man was born for, and man saw through the eyes of carnality, and so flesh and whatever man wanted to do with the world, it was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But Jesus reaches a hand out today and says, though your sins be as scarlet, come unto me. I will make them clean. I will make them whole. I will make you strong. I will make you holy. I will make you godly. You will have supremacy and a spiritual authority over all that's going on. The garden of power became the land of failure for Adam and Eve. It was perfect in every way. There was no thing, but the enemy came in and they decided to chart a new course out of perfectness. When we were born as a baby, we didn't know how to do all of the things, but no one had to train us to do all of the negatives. It was born in sin and shapen in iniquity, but the hand of God and the body of Christ is reaching out right now saying, come, come, come. I will, I will, I will. I am able, I am able. I have the wisdom to guide you. I have the spirits to guide you. I have the future that you're really looking for. I own a holy city. I hold in my hand the universe of all creation. And I'm calling a people out of the world and saying, I am the Lord thy God. Come, follow me, and I will make you over again. Check out the idea that that we would be as God. Lucifer showed you some of that. He had it all. He was in line to completely be everything that God wanted him to be. And yet he decided a course that, since he had an agenda, he would take it. And so he still has enough wisdom to try to distort truth. And that's the Antichrist, the deceiver. And ladies and gentlemen, it's a wonderful, thrilling thing today on this Christmas celebration that we celebrate the Word of God. To this end was I born, he said. For this cause came I into the world. In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I would like to invoke this right now. There is nothing on God's agenda but to reach out to you. You don't have to look around and see if he's trying to reach out to them. I said he is trying to reach out to you. He said it in personal, singular terms. Come unto me, and I will make you. That is all we need to know. He's looking at you every day. He has angels all over listening to your voice to see which people are in covenant and walking in covenant with him. And that's why the Bible continually says, cleanse yourself from all evil. Ladies and gentlemen, it's one of the greatest thrills of my life to be able to tell you that whatever you have done can be covered by the blood of the Lamb. No matter what your sins have been like or your lack of doing the things of God have been like, he said, I will renew you in the form of my own authority. I will renew your mind. I will give you peace that passes the minds of men. I will give you joy unspeakable and make it full of glory. I will make you a light unto the world, and those who sit in darkness will look at you and say, I don't know how they live that way. They love everybody. They care about everybody. They walk in faith every day. They don't give up on their faith. They don't doubt every day. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know what's going to happen. You don't have to know what's going to happen. You know a God that does know what's going to happen. He said, I am going to lead and guide you. I am going to empower you. I am going to give you spiritual authority. I'm going to give you the power to walk on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Why in the world would you hate a neighbor and scorn somebody when you've got peace right at your fingertips? Ladies and gentlemen, there's no need to be down on life because somebody's tried to damn you or they have done what you didn't want them to do. I'm here to tell you that you did some things God didn't want you to do, but he never gave up on you. He never stopped loving you. He's never going to give up on you. He is going to do everything he can today in this Christmas season to elevate you to one supremacy over another, and you're going to be greater tomorrow because you are following the one that's giving gifts this Christmas. All of the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, belong to his family. He's still the head of the family, the people of God. And so today, he is saying, cast all of those worries and fears and all of those things that people have disappointed you in, no matter who they are. They may be your closest friend that disappointed you. They may be somebody you thought you were supposed to like. You don't have to like everybody. You just have to love them to keep your heart holy, to keep your heart pure. And when you speak conversations that do not elevate life, you have thrown God away. Because he said, I will give you the mind of Christ. That is why we have church regularly and why we have preachers that preach the Word of God. Believe in him while you can. We can't afford to treat him the way people treat the word. Nothing is missing in his teachings. Chiefly, he came to break down the curse of the law of sin and of death. The baby in the manger had a mission. The baby in the manger looked like it was weak, but the baby in the manger had in it the powers of the universe. All it did was have to grow up. God wanted us to see and sense that though it was born in flesh, it was born with the power of Almighty God. And it elevated up until and it brought about so much glory in the world. And he was such a bright light. They thought if they killed his flesh, they would kill him. But he didn't die. Just his flesh died. He is alive in this house today. Now, he's sitting beside you. He's got angels monitoring your thoughts while you're in the building. You think this world's sophisticated that they can hook you up to a little needle in you or a magnetic influence and put you about 4 wires in you, 5 wires in you, and they can monitor your whole body? They can sense how much oxygen is in your blood? Those are phenomenal things. But that's nothing compared to what the Spirit doing. The Spirit of the Lord is listening in and monitoring your thoughts. He said, I know the thoughts that you think. I know that. That's a big deal. That's why we want to pray every day and repent of anything that we've done, aught against a brother, aught against a sister. If you have aught against them, go to them. You don't tell your neighbor, that's gossip. And God hates gossip. God looks down on gossip. He will not fraternize with gossip that is of a negative inclusion. So this celebration of Christmas is not about the gifts of dollars and clothing and vacations. And that's not what the gift of Christmas is. The gift of Christmas is that Jesus Christ is being elevated in our minds, and the Christ that was born in Bethlehem's manger. And oh, what a great job they did today helping us to remember all of the beauty of this. And they had no idea what I was teaching or preaching today. But I know what Jesus wants to do. He wants to get out of the manger. He wants to come, all to you young men, and make you strong and powerful in your spirit. Doesn't hurt to have a little muscle either. But his whole concept is to make you strong enough that when somebody, you've never done this, have you? Would you slap the preacher on this cheek? You don't have to do it hard. There you go. Now, he said if somebody slaps you on the cheek, turn your cheek and let them do it again on the other side. This side. He's about to weep, man. I'm about to weep with him. We're real. And we got a real God. And we have real feelings. And so God wants to give us the mastery of the whole purpose of this Messiah that came in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Looked so pitiful in a barn. And yet, when he rose up and he gave gifts to men, and he said, I am going to empower you, and my life is going to be written in a book called the Word of God, and that's going to be my brain power to you. That way, if you can't hear it, you can sense it, because study to show yourself approved of God, not a idea, but to study. And that's why that we particularly have to be born of the water and the Spirit, and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and to speak in a heavenly language as we are born of the Spirit. I never cease to be amazed. Some of you that are stuck constantly here, you hear me say this every now and then. People think nothing of cursing. And then they turn around and say, man, I'm not talking in tongues. I've never heard anybody hurt by hearing somebody talk in tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them the utterance. I've never seen anybody blessed by getting a good cussing. Which makes the difference? Which is the one that should be? Just because you hurt your hand, you don't have to cuss the axe. Just because you've been hurt by others doesn't mean you damn people. We still do what we have been done. Even though we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. God, through love, knew that he would lead man all the way back to the garden, to the beginning of time, and show all humanity through the preaching of the word, the opening of a new birth. Being born again of the water and the Spirit is not a Pentecostal or religious setting. Being born of the water and the Spirit is to be a new creation in the body of Christ. And you and I have the potential to serve him and do for others what he has done for us. So notice this, the wise men came from the east to see the Christ. Some historians believe that the wise men came from the area where the Garden of Eden was located. This kind of wonderfulness had become the land of failure. What they're saying is simply this. Eden once had a perfect track record. And yet, in all that perfectness, Adam and Eve sinned and brought damnation right into a perfect setting. There is no reason legitimate enough for us to bring sin into our life. When we know we have a track record, we have a knowledge about it, that sin bringeth forth death. That death is the second death. That is where the spirit of life in purity and holiness dies. And in that setting, when your physical anatomy breathes its last breath, what you were dead in trespasses and sin will get in eternity. You want to know why I preach hard and why I preach as stout as I can? I can't see anybody in here that I want to go to hell. Cannot imagine having had the opportunity to preach to you and not truly preaching what you need to hear. It's not always fun to feed your children things they don't want to eat. It's not always fun and exciting to discipline your children in things that they don't want to be disciplined in. And so Jesus said, come unto me and I will make you a disciple, which is a disciplined life. Following him is a life of discipline. So he says, though your sins be as scarlet, even if you get off track, and I know I'm saying it over again, I want you to hear that over and again, because you are too precious to Pastor Meyer and to the God that gave you the life that you live. So the wise men came from the east to see the Christ. This one land of wonderfulness had become the land of failure. So, Christ, the means by which we, through the Spirit, would begin to see by love, what God saw through the eyes of flesh that spoiled principalities and led captivity captive. I'd like for the musicians to come. I've still got another page, but I'd like for you to come and be ready. Captivity, a place where the mind is captivated and is suddenly frozen in place. And then the words, utterance. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to, I'm going to get out of this crazy thinking. Captivated, incarcerated in this little spot. Mentally, emotionally, everybody, the enemy wants to make you feel like you're no good or not as best as you want to be or can't be as best as you want to be. Those are all lying spirits. I promise you there's not one day in your life that God wants you to be a bad boy or a good girl, a bad girl. Because that you have failed. He said, I will lift you up. I will give you a name. I will give you a spirit. That's what it means to be renewed in the Holy Ghost. That's what it means to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Because when you are baptized in the name of Jesus, they put a signature in the holy city, born of the water. And then the Holy Ghost, born of the Spirit, and born to be a victor, a winner, a leader, a light, a glory. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't find anything better than the kingdom of God. There's nothing more wonderful than living in the kingdom of God. If you live according to the flesh and you get all the money you can and you get all the sex you can and you get all the lying you want to do and all of the other, you're still not going to be what you really want to be. But when you walk into the kingdom of God and you cleanse yourself and you repent and you come to a place where you crucify your flesh and you rise to walk in the newness of life and you're a child of the King, you have supremacy from all the way from the kingdom of heaven that rules the stars and the moon and everything else. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, he come this Sunday to give you a new realization. You're not just a church member. You're not just a person that's going to a local assembly. You are of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we praise his name in a dance. And we praise his name with a loud voice. They do it in the ballroom. Term, and they do it in a whirl out yonder with doing some nice things. But his children know the one thing he asks: praise me. Just give me praise, because I'm a jealous God and I want praise for making sure that you can sing my songs. You can live my life, and we will join together in the holy city. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, the water's warm. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there is a day right now in which Acts, the second chapter, verse 37, people listening to the ministry said, what must we do? And Acts 2 and 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What greater Sunday to get the gift of the Holy Ghost as this particular time of the year gifts are being given. If there's anything God wants, it's to be able to give to you what you need to live with him forever. He's not trying to make it hard on you. He's not trying to make it tough on you. He's trying to make it tough on what would cripple the future that you all and we all want. And that is freedom. Freedom from this flesh. Freedom from a world where hurt and pains is standard living. So right now, all over the building, as they sing, would you like to stand? And if you need to sit, that's fine. But in a quiet or a loud way, talk to God for a minute. I have tried to preach His word in the Christmas story. Slip down to the front and just give some special praise. If you want the Holy Ghost, if you want to be baptized in the name of Jesus, we have everything ready. There's a glory cloud hanging over Lamar County today. Closing prayer over this service. Brother John Proctor has been one of the ministers that has blessed so many people, and I want him to come down and pray a special prayer over us as we are going to our homes and other areas.
Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this season. Lord, I thank you for your presence and your word. Throughout this day, keep your hand upon the people and let us all realize, had it not been for you, we would still be in our sins. And we pray. praise you for it as we go our ways. In Jesus' name.
As you get ready to leave, why don't you give him one more hand clap to the Lord himself. God bless. Have a great, great Christmas season. Be sure, no service tonight. I think everybody knows that, but I want to make sure there'll be no service tonight. Thank you.